energized. You know, I have about 2 hours of material prepared, so I hope you're ready to bear with me, you know. So, let's begin with the first of the haftaras for the 3 weeks, and we'll go from there. The haftaras of the 3 weeks begin with the haftara that we find printed for Parshas Matos. We typically do you say it on Parshas Pinchas, because Matos Masiyah usually are connected. And it's a wondrous haftara. It begins, Yirmiyahu was after all the prophet of doom. The only problem was, he was for real. You know, to have a prophet of doom that's not for real, Mamela is a halbatzar. But Yirmiyahu was the prophet of doom when he was for real. So Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu ben Hakoyanim Asher Ba'anos his parents ben Yoman. Right? He came from what we know today to be northeast of Yerushalayim. And he had tough things to say. And among the things that he told them was the impending destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Vayomer Hashem Eloi, Itzofon Tiposach Hara Kol Yoshvei Haaretz. From the north will emerge the catastrophe for all those in Eretz Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. Yoshvei Haaretz will suffer. And he said, they're going to lay siege. They'll sweep down from the north. They'll lay siege to the city. Very, very tough, what he had to say. And the Ribbono Shel Olam comes, as we read this morning in the Haftarah, in today's Haftarah, further on in Yirmiyahu. This is not pleasant words that the Novi had to tell us. And then, at the very end of the Haftarah, we go to Kapitel Beis, in the Novi, and begins a new Nevuah. So he's just finished telling him to deliver the Nevuah of the impending destruction of Eretz Yisrael. And Vayehi Dvar Hashem Eilai Leimor, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam comes to him with a new Nevuah. Holaich Bikaroso V'Ozna Yerushalayim Leimor, go forth and proclaim in the ears of those that live in Yerushalayim. Make the following proclamation in the name of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Kayomar Hashem, Zochartu Lo Chesed Nu'urayach, Avas Kelu Losoyach. I remember how I was enamored with you in our youth as our relationship began. Lechtech Acharai B'Midbar. You followed me in the Midbar Be'eretz Lo Yizru'ah. In a land which was not developed. 3 million people marched out of Mitzrayim after the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. An awesome act of faith. But one that's very far and distant from where they are now. If they had that fidelity to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam now, we would not be dealing with Korban Beis HaMikdash. It's because of their infidelity, because their embrace of Avodah Zarah. And yet the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, Holoich b'karoso b'ozne Yerushalayim leima, proclaim in the streets of Yerushalayim, Koyomar Hashem, Zochartu lo chesed nu'urayach, avas kelu losoyach. Kodesh Yisrael Hashem. The Jewish people are sanctified before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Reishis Tvuoso, this is the first of his grain, meaning that's most significant in the world. Kol Oichol Av Yeshamu, all of those, he said, all Mamlechol Mishpachos, Mamlechos Tzvayna will come to destroy Eretz Yisrael. What will be their fate? Kol Eichlov Yashom. All of those that come to destroy Eretz Yisrael, I will hold them to be guilty. Ra'ot Tovo Aleihem Nu'um Hashem. And evil shall come upon them, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says. At the very moment that Klal Yisrael reached the point that we said this morning, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, it's impossible for me to hold my hand anymore. And I'm going to destroy Eretz Yisrael. It will be burned as a desert. No one will be there. The birds will disappear. Why? Because they live from the waste of human society. There'll be no human beings there. There'll be no garbage. You see the birds pecking at the garbage bags. There'll be no humans. There'll be no garbage. There'll be nothing for them to live. The birds will depart also. The desolation that will embrace Eretz Yisrael. And at that moment that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, this is what I'm about to do. Vayehi dvar Hashem eilai leimor hogloich mikaros toboz leYerushalayim. Kodesh Yisrael Hashem. Kol eichlov yashom. That moment that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam comes to bring the harshest of onshin on Klal Yisrael. At that moment, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam sends the same Novi Yirmiyah to proclaim the Ava, the love that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has for Klal Yisrael. No one in the world should err in what the Yachas, the association of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam with Klal Yisrael is. Yes, the Mikdash will be destroyed. Klal Yisrael will be driven from Eretz Yisrael. But don't for a moment think that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has abandoned Klal Yisrael. But rather, Zacharti lo chesed b'orayach. Like a burning fire in my heart, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, is that Yachas, the association that Klal Yisrael had with me, when you stepped forth in full faith to follow me into the Midbar. It's not forgotten. And anyone that touches Klal Yisrael, there will be many. Ro'ah tovo aleihem nu'um Hashem. The avor that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has and expresses at the same moment that he sends Yirmiyahu to proclaim the Churban, this defines our relationship with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. In the most difficult of days, in the harshest of years, we are not separated from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So the Novi Yirmiyahu tells us. The Torah writes, I read the Medrash this morning. Umos Olam, the Christian world, came and proclaimed that they are the Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam ditched us, and he took Saru and proper people to be his children. Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. But the Torah itself writes, Vav Kamzos B'yosam Beretz Oyveihem. At such time when the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will send us into Golus, means that we've sinned grievously. I will not destroy them. And I will not rescind the covenant with the Jewish people. The association of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam with Klal Yisrael, his love for Klal Yisrael is eternal. No matter what level we're at, whether we're on a spiritual high, whether we plumb the depths. In both situations, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam stands with us as inseparable. In the house of Brisk, they write, the Gemara on Shabbos talks about if Tamos Chus Ovois, if the Chus of the Ovois of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov could conceivably end. It's a very complicated subject. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter writes about it. I don't want to go into Rabbi Yisrael's approach to it now. But there's Schus Ovois and Bris Ovois. Bris Ovois can never end. Bris Ovois is the association of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael. And it's a two-way street. We're stuck with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We can't secede. But the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is stuck with us. He can't secede either. That's why the Ramban writes at the very end of Parshas Hazinu, the end of the Shira Sazino, that the assurances, Parsha Sazino talks of the travail of Jewish history, the suffering that will befall Klal Yisrael. And yet at the end, the Rabbeinu Shalom says that he will redeem us. And as the Ramban points out, in contradistinction to Parshas Nitzavim, in Parshas Nitzavim we read that Meshaftar Hashem Elokecha will do tshuva. In Parshas Hazino, there's no statement of tshuva being done. The Rabbeinu Shalom will come and the Rabbeinu Shalom will redeem us with no precondition of tshuva. So this is the greatest of the haftochos, of the assurances that the Rabbeinu Shalom has given us. We'll be better off, obviously, if it comes from Shaftar Hashem Elokecha, that we do tshuva. But even in the absence of tshuva, the Rabbeinu Shalom has promised us that he will redeem us. And thus the Ramban writes, this is the greatest of all the assurances, the haftochos that we find in the entire Torah, is in Parshas Hazino. The Ava, the unremitting Ava for the Rabbeinu Shalom, the ceaseless Ava, the Ava that's unconditional that the Rabbeinu Shalom has for Klal Yisrael, is something that stands with us in all of history. And the Rabbeinu Shalom states that if Klal Yisrael is in Golos, then the Shekhinah is in Golos. And I will only come back to Admas HaKodesh in the full sense of where I should be and how I should be only at the moment of the restoration of Klal Yisrael. The Shekhinah and Klal Yisrael are inseparable. It's a very powerful thought when we consider Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a study of the catastrophes of Jewish history. As Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal writes, we don't have to write a new kinnah for the destruction of Warsaw and Vilna and its Talmidei Chachamim in 1940. That which we read this morning, Meyit and Rosh Yimayim, for spires, worms, and Megenza, speaks to all the generations. It's unfortunately not a one-time kinnah. It's a kinnah which reverberates again and again in Jewish history. And yet, on that day, is the day that we are also confident in the Ava and the love of the Rabbeinu Shalom for Klal Yisrael. Yirmiyo, this self-same Yirmiyo, the prophet of doom, he's the author of Megillas Eicha. And yet how does Megillas Eicha end? Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'rashu v'chadesh yameinu kikedem. With absolute assurance of the continued association of the Rabbeinu Shalom with Klal Yisrael. Whatever has afflicted us, however difficult, however harsh, and however necessary, but it's ultimately temporary. It does not define the existence of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, in fact, will come back from that particular day. One of the things we need to learn on Tisha B'Av, Chazal articulate in the Gemara in Shabbos that Ma'azakeli Vanveyu is Mahu Rachu Mafata Rachu. Just as the Rabbeinu Shalom is compassionate, we also have to be compassionate people. The midas that we have to learn. The midas that we have to learn come from the midas of the Rabbeinu Shalom. They come from the midas of the Rabbeinu Shalom. As we observe the midas of the Rabbeinu Shalom, we are called upon V'alachta B'drachov to emulate the ways of the Rabbeinu Shalom himself. And if the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has such ava under all circumstances for Klal Yisrael, then that's what the Rabbeinu Shel Olam expects of us. V'alachta b'drachov. There are ava knows no bounds. Well, I was in Eretz Yisrael. I was speaking to Yerushalmi that I know, And he summed it up very, very well. He says, there are such Yidden, he said, you need a great deal of Avos Yisrael to deal with them. But the Rebbeinu Shel Olam asks of us that Avos Yisrael. You know, some people are not easy to get on with. But the Rebbeinu Shel Olam asks of us that Avos Yisrael to transcend our natural reactions and feelings and deal with them with Avos Yisrael. My attention is always drawn when we talk about Avos Yisrael to a medrash. It's a medrash we've spoken about before. But to me, it's a very fundamental medrash. Its statement is so powerful and so important. Pinchas is a very significant figure. And he comes forth at a very critical moment for Klal Yisrael. And he acts in a very striking and harsh fashion. He goes, he takes a spear, and he impales Zimri and Cosby upon it, and he marches out of Cosby's tent with them impaled upon the spear. A man that certainly was geared up to be a kanoi. And yet, what happens? Pinchas emerges from the tent of Zimri, and the citizens of Shimon are up in arms. The chutzpah that Pinchas has gone and killed their nasi. And they had all types of things to say about him, that in his lineage he was not a person that was worthy of being a kanoi, and certainly he's just a plain murderer. He's not such a righteous person that he could adopt for himself the title kanoi and have the right to do what he did. So they approached him with the intention of avenging Zimri. Is what happens for Omad b'nei Shiftoi Lufkoyaboy. The members of Shevet Shimon came to avenge Zimri. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam sent the Malach v'nigaf lefonov, and he brought him a geif. He started to strike them down. If I were there in Pinchas' shoes, I would have stopped at that moment and turned to them and said, "You questioned my righteousness. You questioned if I actually fulfilled the Dvar Hashem, or if I'm just a murderer that's out of control. Well, now you see the Rebbeinu Shel Olam has taken up my cause. You came to attack me, and that's it. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is striking you down. So now suffer your fate. It's quite clear that I'm right in what I did." That's what I would have told him. But Kishra Pinchas came, when Pinchas observed what was taking place, Chavoton Bekarko, he put Zimri and Cosby down on the ground. Va'omad mispalo, he began to be mispalo for these adversaries that are coming to kill him. The chsiv, as a posik in Tilim. Vayamoid Pinchas vayifalo. The pin Tilim kuvov. Pinchas arose and started to be mispalo. To be mispalo for those very people that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is cutting down to save his life. What's the pshat? How do we understand such a personality as Pinchas? His life is on the line. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam protects him. And what does he do? He turns to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Rebbeinu Shel Olam saved his chevra. What type of man is Pinchas? But the answer lies at the very beginning of Parshas Pinchas. What does it say? What drove Pinchas? Pinchas is Heishiv es Chamosi me'al b'nei Yisrael. He rescinded the potential for Midas Adin to afflict Klal Yisrael. And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, I did not strike down Klal Yisrael. Chazal tell us, im yesh din lamata, if the bezdin of this world enforces the halacha, then in Shemayim they suffice with that. But if we close our eyes to the depravities of Klal Yisrael when they take place, then is yesh din lamayla, then a mighty midas adin emerges from heaven. And that would have had devastating effects upon Klal Yisrael. So consequently,
Pinchas was driven by what? Heishiv es chamosi me'al b'nei Yisrael. What drives Pinchas? He was not an extreme person. Pinchas is driven. He had this, was suffused with Avos Yisrael. And Pinchas realized that if he did not implement the halacha that he had been taught by Moshe Rabbeinu, an awesome Midas Adin would afflict Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Pinchas raced to implement the din against Zimri for the salvation of Klal Yisrael. A person that's driven by Avos Yisrael has no satisfaction in seeing Jews suffer. It makes no difference who they are, what their agenda is. From his standpoint, it's not tolerable. The Rabbeinu Shalom brings it. So I have to be mispallel to the Rabbeinu Shalom to rescind the Gzeira against them. I have no satisfaction that there's any Jew in the world that suffers. He's suffering for your sake. Makes no difference to me. A Yid is suffering. Pinchas and his Avos Yisrael cannot tolerate that. He's driven by his love of Klal Yisrael. These deadly adversaries, if not checked by the Rabbeinu Shalom, would have taken his life. So be it. I'm not ready to die. The Rabbeinu Shalom protected me, but I don't want to be saved by seeing them destroyed. That also not. A person so imbued and so driven by Avos Yisrael that the suffering of any Jew in the world was something he could not tolerate. And therefore, even for those citizens of Shimon that came to assault him and to attempt to take his life, the Avos Yisrael which Pinchas demonstrated. And Avos Yisrael for Klal Yisrael, which drives him to kill Zimri. And the same Avos Yisrael drives him to be mispallel to the Rabbeinu Shalom to save the citizens of Shimon. It's an awesome personality. Not an extreme person driven to extreme and rash actions, but a person calculating by the barometer of Avos Yisrael what's good for Klal Yisrael. And that's what motivates us every step. An awesome level that even in the throes of such confrontation with enemies ready to take his life, he does not lose sight of his Avos Yisrael. He places Zimri and Cosby on the ground. He has a new problem now that transcends his initial problem. Jews are being afflicted. Now it's time to be mispallel, that the Rabbeinu Shalom should be merachem on them. It's the notion of Avos Yisrael. If we ask ourselves, if that's the bar that we set for Avos Yisrael, we all have a long way to go. A long way to go. Not that we don't have Avos Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, we have Avos Yisrael. But to meet up to the standard, the bar that Pinchas set for Avos Yisrael, we have a long way to go. One of the things that takes place when I'm in Eretz Yisrael, I have a particular delight. For whatever the reason, I don't know. I don't own many svarim of Rav Chatzka Levenstein's Tzal. There are many, many svarim. For some reason, I don't know why. But I own I have a little bit of a svarim, but I don't own a lot. When I come to the house of Mashver Zalazayin Gezun, Mashver is a Talmud of Rav Chatzka. So Rav Chatzka's svarim are around. So inevitably, I start learning Rav Chatzka's svarim when I'm in his house. And I learned all types of amazing things and fascinating things. I picked up a sefer, it's called a volume on Midas. All lengthy sefer. And one of the pieces I opened up to is a piece about tzaddikim yeilchubom u'poshim yikoshlubom. Right? The righteous will thrive, and in the very same fashion, in the same manner, the wicked will stumble. And it raises a very interesting question of Chatzka. How is it? He says, I understand mitzvahs. People do mitzvahs, and they become greater people by it. They grow. They rise to great milah. People do averus, and they fall to great depths. But how is it possible that two people are doing the same thing? The tzaddik and the rosh are both doing exactly the same thing. They're both engaged in the same thing. And the tzaddik grows closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and the Rosh winds up further away from the Rabbeinu Shalom. In the same action, how could it be? What's the pshat? An enigma. So Rav Chatzkel Zatzal writes the following. He says, we know in the world we should have Ava for the tzaddikim and Sinner for the Rishon. The tzaddikim are enhancing the world and the will of the Rabbeinu Shalom of the world, and I should not be Ava for them. The Rishon are pulling the world down. They're rebelling against the Rabbeinu Shalom. He says, but how to have Sinner for Rishon? So there are two ways to have Sinner for Rishon, Rav Chatzkel Zatzal writes. I can have Sinner for the people that are doing these acts. I hate them. And I can have a sinner which is oriented only towards their actions, not to them personally. So the difference between them is a world apart. The person that's caught up in sinner for the Russia himself will inevitably imbibe all the Midas Rois in the world. All the negative things will become part and parcel of his personality. From the sinner that becomes part of him towards another member of Klal Yisrael will bring him a whole parcel of Midas Rois. The person that maintains his love for every member in Klal Yisrael, but is a sinner, the resha, the actions that they do, but he maintains his ava, he will not be caught up in a web of sinner. Both people approach sinner sarosha, arishon. The tzaddik rises from it because he knows exactly where the line is, how far to go, and that it shouldn't become a personal feud. Poishim, those that don't have tzitkis, those that are far from the Rabbeinu Shalom, it becomes a personal feud, and they destroy themselves in the process. Rav Chatzkel goes on to write, he says, how should we know which of the two it is? If we want to test ourselves and know what we're holding, what's the bechina? What test should we give? So the test is a very simple test, Rav Chatzkel writes. At the moment that Rosh takes a step, even a tiny step, towards the Rabbeinu Shalom, what's my reaction to him? The tzaddik is Sameach Moed. I'm joyful. He's drawn a step closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom. The rebellion against the Rabbeinu Shalom in this world is lessened. There's more Kvayt Shemayim in the world from this step. Halavayel takes some more steps. But I have a deep satisfaction that he's taken even this step that is a little bit closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom. If I want him to be destroyed, that's my hope for him. I have no concern that he should draw closer. Let him be eliminated from the world altogether, then I'm on the wrong side of it. That's the way Rav Chatzkel writes, we should test ourselves. I had a very interesting thing happened. I shared this, in fact, I spoke before on a Friday night at a shul of Israeli B'nai Torah. One of them is a little bit older than I am, and he came over to me afterwards, and it was very striking. He says, that what you said in Rav Chatzkel's name? He said, I heard the shmuz in Ponovich when Rav Chatzkel said it. You know. But an understanding, a person so, such a lofty giant of a person imbued with the deepest emunah, the deepest Yerushamayim, and his understanding of how we have to relate to those people that are on the other end of the spectrum from Amun and Yerushalayim. What should be the relationship to them? How do we deal with them? That we have to have an ava, a love for them as well. We could despise the things that they do and fight against the things that they do. But the individual, the yochid, I wish in the deepest sense that he draws closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom and that he's noisy chayim before the Rabbeinu Shalom more than he is now. This is the ava that Rav Chatzkel Levenstein demanded of his Talmidim that they have for every member in Klal Yisrael, not only the tzaddikim, but for not only the poishim, the super poishim, the ones even that the poishim would hate. Even for those. The boundless avos Yisrael. From the world of Kelum, the depths of Kelum and Musa, a very demanding Musa. From the deepest Musa that existed. And at the depths of Kelum and Musa, the demand for such an Avos Yisrael. This was of Chatzkel. We find in Chazal examples of extreme degrees of Avos Yisrael. Extreme degrees. I have two very favorite Chazal, and they're very, very precious and dear to me. They've taught me a lot, and I hold them very, very dear, my insights. One deals with Mordechai. The very end of Megillas Esther is enigmatic. In the very last pasuk in Megillas Esther, we read that is Mordechai Yehudi was rotzi l'roi vechov. Goyrish tev la'amo, v'dover sholom l'chol zaro, rotzi l'roi vechov. He found favor in the eyes of most of his brethren. And if that isn't a left-handed compliment enough, to make Chazal make sure that we appreciated that it's a left-handed compliment. Don't think that it means, well, he was very popular and leave it at that. You know, he could have left the Pasuk at that level. But Chazal say, no, 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 don't miss what the Pasuk's saying. Rotzi l'roi vechov, loy l'chol echov. He had his naysayers. And as the Gemara tells us, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Megillah, Pirshu mimeno miktsa Sanhedrin. He was one of the most prominent in the top five on the Sanhedrin. And some of his chaverim, his colleagues on the Sanhedrin, separated themselves. They looked askance at Mordechai. Why? Because Mordechai entered the world of politics. And therefore they said, this is unseemly and inappropriate. One of the leading members of the Sanhedrin should become a politician, a prime minister. It's wrong. Pirshu mimeno. Look, tell you what happened. But this is the hesped, in effect, for Mordechai Yehudi. Right? His send-off, the last word we have in Tanakh about Mordechai Yehudi, the last pasuk, we're going to talk about the man that saved Klal Yisrael in a time of extreme danger. The Hitler Yamach Shemoy v'zichro of his time came with that agenda, la'ashmid v'la'arog v'la'abid is kol Yehudim b'taf v'noshim, right? The Nazi agenda, Yamach Shemoy v'zichro. And Mordechai Yehudi saves us from him. Could there be a bigger hero in all of Jewish history? So we had Misnah? No, okay. But that's what we write. So we get giving the hesped. Oh, by the way, you should know we did have an important minority of people, in fact, that did not see eye to eye with him. You know, there are G'dayli Olam that are involved in a great deal of machloikas in their life, l'shem shamayim. But I don't think in the hesped we would get up and say, you know, he was a tremendous Baal machloikas. He had fights constantly. That's not the hesped that you would hear. It may be true, may have been necessary, and it may be a shvach, but that's not the hesped that you would give, you know, for him. So all that we're talking, Mordechai, Yehudi, the terrorist, giving us the final send-off about this beautiful figure in Jewish history that saved us. Rotzi l'roi vechov. He had his naysayers. It's the pshat. So I made a cheshbon, the following cheshbon. What took place here is, what was the debate first between Mordechai and the rest of the other members of the Sanhedrin? The debate is a very simple debate. On one hand, it would seem that the naysayers were correct. You know, what would we have done 10 years ago? Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal called up Netanyahu one morning and said, listen, Binyamin, go back to Tel Aviv, Dorton, retire. I'm moving in tomorrow morning into the Misrad Rosh Memshalah, and I'm taking over. That's it. You can go home. So our reaction inevitably would have been the following. Listen, politicians, we have more than we can need in Eretz Yisrael. G'dayli Adar, much too few. So please do us a favor, don't trade the politician seat for the G'dayli Adar seat. Do us a favor, you stay in Meir Shalom and let Netanyahu stay where he stays, you know. But this is not a good exchange for the G'dayli Adar to leave Meir Shalom and move into the Knesset, into the Misrad Rosh Memshalah. This is a total loss. We don't have enough G'dayli Adar. So this was in those that his chaverim and Sanhedrin said, what in the world is Mordechai, a G'dayli Adar, entering the world of politics? Politicians, the world has plenty of politicians. G'dayli Adar, they're always in limited number. So what drove Mordechai? Mordechai was driven, he had the same problem that Yaakov Avinu had. Acharta Moisila Avishena Biyesh Be'orot. We just have slain 75,000, the Megillah tells us, Sayna Yisrael. But Haman was right. We're Mefuzer and Mefer Ben Amam. We're not in one central place that all the Jews live, that we could have a collective defense. We're spread out thinly amongst all the entire population of Bovel. How are we going to survive this enterprise? Tomorrow they'll come and they'll rally against us and they'll avenge all of those, their family members and their colleagues that we killed. How are we going to survive it? Yeah, we made the first strike, that's true. And what happens next? So Mordechai came to a very radical conclusion that the only solution to this problem is that he has to become prime minister. If he holds the reins of power of the government, then he'll be able to keep things in check and preserve the Jewish people. But Mordechai was a person blessed with great wisdom too. He did not think that this radical decision to enter the government, the prime minister's office, and neglect his duties in the Sanhedrin to a significant extent, that this would go down favorably with everyone. He knew that inevitably there would be those that would be critical of him. Knew. If the Shushan Jewish Times wrote against him, Mordechai could have slept comfortably. That wouldn't have bothered him too much. But when it gets close to home, Pirshu Memeno Mikza Sanhedrin, when other Gedolei Yisrael are the ones that take a dim view of what he does, this stinks. This stinks. His colleagues, others of the Gedolei Yisrael, who take a dim view of this step, that hurts. But Mordechai did not become aware of this after the fact. Mordechai realized this before he took the step, that this was going to happen. And it did happen. And that's the praise that we give for Mordechai. Mordechai's love for Klal Yisrael was such that the stinging rebuke of his colleagues in the Sanhedrin, I'll bear it. Why? For the sake of Klal Yisrael. It would be a lot easier not to bear it, to sit in the Sanhedrin chambers and not go forth into the world. But that would be the wrong decision for Klal Yisrael. I'll take that step. I'll enter the fray in the world of politics. I will accept the rebuke of my colleagues. I don't agree with them, but it will stink. It will hurt. But my love of Klal Yisrael is such that that's primary. My own personal dignity, my own honor, my own full acceptance by my colleagues, by my peers, is less important to me than what Klal Yisrael needs. And that is, and therefore, this is the ultimate praise of Mordechai Yehudi. Rotzi l'roi vechov. He was willing to suffer the slings and arrows of those that disagreed with him for the sake of Klal Yisrael. And this is, in fact, the ultimate praise of Mordechai Yehudi. And I think we have a similar notion. There's a Balaturim, I've spoken about it in Shul at other times, in Parshas Tetzaveh, and we know that until Chumash Devarim, from the time, from the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu's name appears in every Parsha other than in Tetzaveh. In Chumash Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu was the speaker throughout, and in fact there are five Parshias where Moshe Rabbeinu's name does not appear. Remember, Veschanan, Eikev, Re'ei, Shoiftim, and Etzovim. There are five Parshias in Chumash and Devarim where the name of Moshe Rabbeinu does not appear. And the Balaturim tells us that his name does not appear in Tarshish Tetzaveh. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, at the time of the Cheder Egel, he told the Rabbeinu Shel Eid to forgive Klal Yisrael. Vim ayin mecheini nomi sifruch asher kosofta. Strike my name from the Torah. Strike my name from the Torah. We take it usually, it's taken in a pejorative sense, that Moshe Rabbeinu a little bit overstepped his bounds in telling the Rabbeinu Shalom, Mecheini Nomi Sifrucho, you shouldn't have spoken that way. And when a tzaddik speaks that way, he's held accountable for every word. And therefore the Rabbeinu Shalom gave him, listen, he was Moshe Rabbeinu after all, so he gave him a slap on the wrist. But a slap on the wrist he gave him. He took his name out of Parshas Tetzaveh. That's usually the way we learn this Balaturim. I did not think that that's what the Balaturim means. I think the Balaturim means something else entirely. Moshe Rabbeinu had the opportunity to become the Avram Avinu. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam told him, I'll destroy Klal Yisrael over Eschol LeGoigol, and I will make you into a mighty nation. A mighty nation will emerge from you. He'll be the new Avram Avinu. All the Jews in the world would be descendants of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, no way. He rises to the occasion. He says, there's no Moshe Rabbeinu apart from Klal Yisrael. If Klal Yisrael survives, then there's a Moshe Rabbeinu. If there's no Klal Yisrael, then I'm also part of the dustbin of history. I'm gone. I have no personal ambitions, no personal existence. I'm the Shamas, the Eved of Klal Yisrael. Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik, the Kodesh Lebrocha, the salutation on many of his letters. Eved la'am kodesh al admas ha'kodesh. The servant of a holy nation. Eved la'am kodesh al admas ha'kodesh. On a holy land. Moshe Rabbeinu was Eved la'am kodesh. And if not, then I'm out of it. And thereby he saves Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'll give it all away. I don't need any place in history. I don't need to be recorded. I could be forgotten and covered over by the sands of time. If Klal Yisrael is not saved, I don't want anything. And therefore, I think to the contrary, in Parshat Tetzaveh was celebrating the dedication of Moshe to Klal Yisrael. Was stating that Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to give it all away, everything that he has, everything that he did, everything that he would accomplish throughout all of thousands of years of history. He was willing to give away for the sake of Klal Yisrael. This is the Avas Yisrael. And I'll end, I'll share with you a story of a Yidin of mine, Ramesh Chodesh, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. His first Yahrzeit was on Chof Ches Tammuz. He was a Talmud in Chevron Yeshiva. His father was the great Mashgiach of Chevron Yeshiva, a Talmud of the Altar of Slobodka, Ramesh Chodesh, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. In his Chabura one day, they decided that they should engage in the study of Sefer Chofetz Chaim, so they should be more careful about speaking Lashon Hara. But it's a yeshiva, not a shtibel. So if you want to do something in a yeshiva, you have to go and ask the mashgiach rishus. You need his permission. You just can't do what you want in a yeshiva. So his chaverim told him, listen, your father's the mashgiach of the yeshiva, so you go speak to him and take care of it, you know. So he went to his father. His father heard him out, and his father reacted in a very cool manner to the suggestion. And he was surprised. He said, what could possibly be the problem? We're talking about learning a sefer written by the Chofetz Chaim on the topic of Lashon Hara. So where could the deficiency lie that you're so cool to it? So Ramea Chodesh Natsali answered him in the following fashion. He said, I want to ask you a question. If you go to the doctor and you tell him, listen, I have a very sharp pain. In some place coming from the abdomen. So the doctor says, I'll tell you what, I have a very good painkiller. Let me give it to you. And you go home, and tomorrow you'll feel better. So he said, is that a doctor? All he's done is he's treated your symptoms. You don't have pain. But why do you have the pain in the first place? There's obviously something wrong. So what the doctor needs to do is to divine the source of the illness. Good. And begin to treat that. If he wants to give you painkillers after that, so that you're comfortable while you're being treated, but if he just gives you painkillers and he sends you home, then he's not a doctor. He says, you come to me and you tell me that you want to be more careful about Lashon Hara. Very nice. But what's the root of the problem? The root of the problem is that if we had sufficient Avas Yisrael, we wouldn't have the motivation to speak Lashon Hara in the first place. So you come and you tell me, listen, we don't have Avas Yisrael, so we want to treat the symptoms. We want to take a painkiller. That's not the way to go about this. First, you have to address the issue of Avas Yisrael. Yeah, after that, it's a very good thing. Once you set your sights on addressing the root cause of the problem, yeah, study Sefer Chofetz Chaim to be careful in particular about the loss to make sure you get there. But the first step you need to take is to deal with the root cause. The lack of Avas Yisrael, the lack of sufficient Avas Yisrael. And that, Rabbi said, that's the message of Tisha B'Av. The message of Tisha B'Av is that we need to be Marva Avas Yisrael. The Mikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. We have to rebuild it, as Rav Kook was wont to say, with Avas Chinam. An unbounded love for every member of Klal Yisrael. And as I mentioned before, my Rishalmi Chavar told me, says there are some Yidin, he says, you need an abundant amount of Avas Yisrael to be able to deal with them. May the Rabbeinu Shalom grant that we should have that measure of Avas Yisrael, that the day that we have spent in contemplation of the Churban and all that has ensued in Jewish history because of that Churban, they can inform our actions to inspire us toward deeper Avas Yisrael. A good Yorah B'Yisrael.